Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow. In today's Bible adventure, the fugitive David was hiding in the wilderness regions of Israel, where he showed mercy to King Saul.
So, you're from Engedi, huh? Fine, now just state your mission briefly and be done.
We thought it likely, Your Majesty, that you would care to know the present whereabouts of David and his renegades.
Well, it is quite likely that I would. Do you know?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Where?
In the wilderness of Engedi, sire.
General Abner, choose you 3,000 of the best men in all Israel. We will seek David among the rocks and crevices. We will find and kill David.
Come, we'd better get back into the cave quickly, quietly.
Stop!
General, we'll stop here. This sort of terrain wears me out. I need rest.
Yes, Your Majesty. Men, hold!
General.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I see a cave over there. I'm going inside where it is cool and rest.
David, sir, this is the very opportunity we've been waiting for.
Opportunity we've been waiting for.
Remember what the Lord said unto you? Behold, I will deliver thine enemy Saul into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as seemeth good unto thee. Well, he is delivered into your hands. Here, now.
That would end our troubles, wouldn't it? And the troubles of all Israel, for that matter.
Let me do it, sir. I want to personally end his miserable life.
No, Joab, no.
You want to do it? Well, I don't blame you.
Joab, no one is going to harm the king.
Why not? Didn't the Lord say that you could do what seemeth good to...
Saul is the Lord's anointed, Joab.
But Uncle David, King Saul is the very essence of evil and wickedness. He is leading the people of Israel into paths of sin.
No, Joab, no.
I don't understand you.
Just hand me your sword.
Here, and it's sharp, too. What did you do? Just cut off the skirt of his robe? What are you going to do with that? It doesn't fit you.
You'll see.
I'd like to see the end of this mad, evil reign.
Now let's get back to our hiding place.
Oh, well, that was a good rest. Now, to continue the search for David. Find any signs of David and his men?
Begging your pardon, Your Majesty, but what happened to the skirt of your robe?
The skirt of my... Why, that's strange. What has happened to it?
You left it in the cave, probably.
Yeah, but I didn't tear it off when I lay down. I didn't even remove the sword from my side.
You probably caught it on a sharp rock and tore it off without even realizing it.
Well, yes, that could be what happened. It's very rough and rugged terrain out there. I had all sorts of trouble crossing that ravine and getting up here. But have you yet discovered any signs of David having been here?
None at all, Your Majesty. Our information must have been false. I don't think David is anywhere near. Never has been. He must have gone to the...
My lord, the king!
Who is that?
Why do you listen to the words of men who say, "Behold, David seeks your hurt"? I was in the cave, and I did thee no harm. Behold, then, O king, and know that I could have killed thee, but I did not. Some of my men bade me take thy life, but I could not, because you are God's anointed. Moreover, O king, in my hand I hold the skirt from your robe, which I cut off. O king, you must know and understand that I have neither evil in my heart against you, nor have I sinned against you. Yet, O king, you hunt me constantly to take my life. May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it, and plead my cause, and deliver me from your hand.
Is that your voice, my son David?
It is, O king.
You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear unto me, David, my son, that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house.
So shall it be, O king, I swear it.
Now come, David, and return to the palace with me, and play on the harp that my soul may be cheered.
Thank you, your majesty. But I and my men shall remain here in the wilderness. Farewell, your majesty.
In 1 Samuel chapter 24, David was given an opportunity to easily kill King Saul. But he refused to harm Saul or let any of his men do so either. Why did he not? God himself had chosen Saul and anointed him as Israel's king, even though Saul no longer put his trust in God. It was therefore not David's place to undo what God had done. Although David had been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king, Saul still reigned on the throne. David rightly decided that God alone should determine what happened to Saul. As Saul left the cave, David called out after him. He wanted Saul to know that he could have just killed Saul, but instead had refused to do so. David wanted to convince Saul that he'd never been disloyal to him and that he still showed respect for Saul's authority as Israel's king. In the New Testament, both the apostles Paul and Peter teach us that all authority on earth is established by God. We must honor our leaders and submit to them. It doesn't matter if a leader himself is evil. We must still honor that person's position. God never asks us to employ violence against our leaders. Yes, although he ordered the Israelites to put to death other nations' leaders, it was never their own. We're called to obey our leaders, with only one exception. We must not obey any command of a leader that clearly violates the written word of God. It was in Saul's hearing that David called on God to judge between him and Saul. David cried out, "May the Lord avenge the wrongs that you have done to me." He left his case to the Lord to make things right. It's always better to let God clear our name than for us to try and justify our own actions, which can be wrong later. God is totally just. He will always give justice to the innocent and punish the guilty. If he does not fully do so in this life, he certainly will in the next. After David spoke these words, Saul wept out aloud. He was filled with remorse over his wrongdoing of hunting down David to kill him. But despite this, he didn't truly repent or turn from his evil ways. It was only a short time later that Saul was out again in the countryside, searching for David with a desire to kill him. Saul did acknowledge to David, however, that David would be the next king of Israel. Saul may have remembered Samuel's prophecy that his kingdom would be taken away from him and given to another. Just as his son Jonathan had done earlier, Saul also asked David to swear an oath that he wouldn't kill Saul's descendants when he became king. David gave his oath, but he still didn't trust Saul. David went back to the strongholds in the wilderness to live a while longer yet. What can we learn from this chapter in the Bible about living our own lives? David's conscience was so tender that he was troubled after he cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He felt that he had humiliated the king before Saul's soldiers by allowing all to see how vulnerable the king had been. David knew that it was important to respect authority and to encourage others to do so as well. Some may be asking, what is our conscience? Our conscience is a God-given instinct that resides deep inside all humans' hearts, and it guides us to know right from wrong. It's an invisible part of us that helps us to understand if we're in line with God's will and His word or not. Our conscience testifies about us to our own self. If we're wrong, it produces a sense of guilt. It then urges us to deal with our guilt by righting the wrong. It's essential to listen to and obey our conscience, or it will become dull and useless for knowing what is right. Even those who've rejected God by hardening their conscience can come back to Him for forgiveness and renewal. When you commit yourself to God and live by the commands of His Word, God will restore your conscience and guide you through His Holy Spirit. A sensitive conscience is a great treasure and a valuable guide. Seek God for it, heed it, and don't lose it. David made every effort to prove that he was innocent of any charge that Saul might bring against him. One way to do this was for David to show his loyalty to the king, even when the king was at David's mercy. David reasoned that this was important to do in front of the 3,000 troops that Saul had with him that day. By doing so, David proved that he was guiltless of trying to seize or tear down Saul's kingship. It certainly would have been a bad start to David's reign as king to have unresolved matters with his father-in-law or a sense of guilt darkening his way. Saul responded to David by telling David that he was more righteous than himself. David showed Saul good even though Saul had rewarded David with evil. In Romans chapter 12 it says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." How can committed Christians learn to develop godly character by showing mercy to our enemies, just as David did in this chapter of the Bible? In Psalm 18, it says of God, "With the merciful, you, Lord, will show yourself merciful." And doesn't each one of us need the Lord's mercy when we make mistakes? The Lord Jesus showed mercy to all people of the world and every generation when He willingly took everyone's sin and pride upon Himself on the cross. His offer of forgiveness to each person is a free gift, but it must be accepted by asking for it, believing that Jesus, and only Jesus as God's Son, could accomplish such a marvelous thing for us. We didn't deserve such mercy, as all of our sin is wiped away and never again counted against us. And we are very grateful for this. Through God's kindness, each believer in Jesus has been blessed beyond what we can ever imagine in this life, having fellowship with God forever. In the next life, believers will have perfect bodies that will never sin again, in the body, heart, or mind, and nor will they get old. For all eternity, believers will be with God in heaven in total perfection and enjoy complete intimacy with Him. Their trials and troubles here on earth will seem so small and forgotten then. However, while we're still here on earth, we need to be careful that we don't bring dishonor on the name of the Lord in the eyes of those who are inside or outside the church. None of us could live in a world where there was only justice and no mercy. Mercy is needed because neither the world we live in nor the people around us are perfect. Because of our sinful nature that we're born with, none of us is ready to have pure justice administered on us. Without mercy, we'd all be doomed. So until God's kingdom comes, God withholds His final justice. God is amazingly patient, infinitely kind, and incredibly forgiving. At present, God responds to His world with mercy, and He calls His own people to show mercy to others also. God showers many acts of mercy upon us each day. Anything good in your life is from God's merciful hand. Mercy is what we've received, and mercy is what we're called to give. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.